In your Bibles, please turn back to the Psalm. Psalm 56, it's there on page 578. And it's probably helped to be able to follow it through as we hear from this Psalm in this mini-series of sermons from the Psalms in August. And in particular, Psalms where there are clearly difficult circumstances. You can see it in the introductory words of the psalm, which set the scene, which are part of the original text in the Hebrew. So can you see Psalm 56? I guess when you read this psalm at home, you might be tempted to miss out that little introductory bit and just skip on to verse 1. The introductory bit, which says, "To the leader, according to the dove on far-off terebinths, of David, a miktam, when the Philistines seized him in Gath." Now, I guess you might be inclined to ignore it because, for one, you're not a worship leader, and it says to the leader. For two, you've probably never heard of the tune, "The Dove on Far-Off Terebinths." I don't think that's probably in any of our books today. For three, we don't really know what a miktam is, although the Hebrew root of the word is meaning golden. So perhaps it's saying this is a nugget of gold of lasting value. And for four, well, here is why we mustn't gloss over these introductions, because it tells us the situation. When the Philistines seized David in Gath. This was his prayer of David, it says, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Now, let's just stop a moment. Do you realize how serious David's situation is from this introduction? I think you do. You just might be slightly dozy if you're catching up. Who are the Philistines? Where is Gath? Does it matter? Well, it did matter to David. And it does matter if we want to learn more of the relevance of this prayer in Psalm 56. You might not know much about David, but this thing I think you probably do know. What was one of the first things you ever learnt about David? Yeah, he fought Goliath. Quite a few people were saying that, weren't they? Yes. Who was the giant of the army of the Philistines, right? So there's a clue as to the danger that David's in. And obviously David caused Goliath to fall down dead. And so the Philistine army was routed. Where did Goliath come from? Gath. Goliath of Gath. So now can you see where David is? He's in the very town where his greatest enemy, who he defeated, and who probably his enemies aren't very pleased about, came from. Now we can read the psalm and understand the context of this prayer. You can see where David is. He's in a place of great danger, surrounded by potential enemies. And he's wondering, is there anyone here I can trust? Now, let's look at the prayer and learn how to pray when we might be surrounded by people who we're not sure about. How do we pray when it seems like we can trust no one? Often we might find ourselves in a situation where those we thought we could trust, we've discovered we can't. And we're looking around thinking, gosh, who can we trust? David shows us how we can pray if we're in that sort of situation here in Psalm 56. So for a start, in verse 1, he prays for grace. Be gracious to me, O God. Grace is God's kindness. undeserved but freely given, and we need it. So let's pray for it. We shouldn't take God's grace for granted. He is always ready to give it, but it's not automatic. We can't grab it. We can't demand it. It's a gift. And God is the giver, and so we can only ask. And we do well to ask. Pray for grace. It's a good place to start when we're surrounded by trouble. Next, and this will be very close to your heart if you're in this sort of situation, you describe your troublemakers. You pour it out. And at the same time, and this is important perspective, remember that your troublers are only human. It's not quite clear from this translation in the NRSV, but where it says, "For people trample on me," that word for people there in the original Hebrew is enosh, which is it's the Hebrew word which means mere human, for frail flesh, if you like. And it's the same word that's used at the end of verse 4, where in fact the NRSV does translate it flesh. What can flesh do to me? What can mere humans do to me? So the bookend of this outpouring of his trouble is this note of, well, they are only human. And that's a good perspective, isn't it? If you are being assailed by humans. So the opposition is strong and numerous, but it is merely human. For people, mere people trample on me all day long, foes oppress me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many fight against me. O Most High. So what next? Now the outpouring of the troubles of the situation, which is very cathartic, but more than cathartic, you're telling the person who above all others can help, and who above all others cares for you in your situation. So you pour out your troubles to start with, after asking for grace. And then, well, then you say how you're feeling. And in amongst those feelings, you express trust in God. You might not feel able to trust anyone around you, but there is one you can trust. Remind yourself. There is one who keeps the promises he has made. There is one who is not merely human. The Lord. The Lord Jesus is God and human. So that's what comes out from verse 3. O Most High, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I am not afraid, or I will not be afraid. It's probably a better translation. What can flesh, what can mere humans do to me? So isn't that interesting, the way that prayer goes? When we pray, we start by saying how we're feeling. We are feeling afraid. But at the same time, it's important to express our trust in God, who is faithful to his word, and so we remind ourselves of that. And we don't need to say much, but even in saying that, we've encouraged ourselves enough to say, I am not afraid. I will not be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. I trust in you, Lord. Now, some rather superior commentators on this verse might say something like, oh dear, you know, David's terribly confused, and or this text has been mangled and this sort of thing. But I don't think so. I think it's quite realistic. I think it's quite realistic to start off saying, yes, I am afraid, and to come out with it honestly. And then through ministering to ourselves in the prayer and reminding ourselves of what's important and true, we come to the point, well, I'm not going to be afraid. And so it is in Psalms that we can minister to ourselves, and and make ourselves feel a bit better. That's the nature of prayer. That's the nature of how God works as we pray honestly and from the heart. So, well, the last part of verse 4 is in a question form again, a rhetorical question. What can flesh do to me? And just in asking that question, the prayer obviously, David obviously plunges himself back into his problems. Because he says, well, what can mere humans do to me? Oh, they can slander my name and cause me all sorts of problems. So off he goes again. Unburdening yourselves, pouring it out once, probably doesn't help everything. So pouring it out again is a good thing to do when we are in trouble. So here he goes again in verse 5. All day long they seek to injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they hoped to have my life. Lies and slander is a slightly different gloss on the way his supposed enemies are out to get him. It's lies and it's slander. It's stalking and it's stirring. But again, he doesn't dwell on those problems. He doesn't dwell on the ways that others are messing him up. He moves on. And this prayer is so helpful because it helps. It starts by asking for grace and only then mentions the problem. It only mentions the problems briefly and then moves on to a good response. My response is fear, I'm afraid, but I'm not going to leave it there. I will not be afraid. I'm going to trust in God and keep praising his word. After all, what can mere humans do? Yes, they can mess things up for me, and they are, but God can bring them down. I'm going to pray. Please, Lord, bring them down. Verse 7, as they hoped to have my life, so repay them for their crime. In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. And this is a recognition that God brings justice. The humble are raised up, the proud are brought down in God's economy. God brings justice in the end, and he remembers everything. So it's good to call on him for justice. And these three amazing pictures in this psalm, it's something this psalm is noted for, these three amazing pictures of how God remembers. You have kept count of my tossings. So, if you like, it's God is counting the number of times that you turn over in bed because you're so agitated. You know, you're so agitated, you go and lie down and then turn over. Oh, and then you're so agitated, you turn over again and you turn back and you turn over again because you're so agitated. And God is counting those times. That's the picture. Isn't it an amazing picture of God caring for you in your agitation? And then the second picture, you put my tears in your bottle. So you're crying, and God has his test tube underneath, catching the tears. All of the tears, because God cares for you in your upset to that extent, and he remembers to that extent that he's got them all there in his bottle. Isn't that an amazing picture of God's care when we are so upset? It's a lovely way of saying, I know that God won't forget my trials and troubles. And then the third picture there in verse 8, are they not in your record? This is a picture of a book, with a scribe writing a record of what's been going on. And You know, it's the sort of thing they do in the Houses of Parliament, isn't it? And always have. It's in Hansard or something, and there's somebody writing down everything that's happened. Well, that's a picture of God. What's happened to us in our troubles is all written down. It's a permanent record. In the Houses of Parliament, they've got all the Hansards since the start. What an amazing picture of how God remembers our trouble. The Lord will not forget. He remembers. So no need to dwell on the thought ourselves. God remembers. And when we are afraid, our prayers can be short, because God knows everything. And when we are under threat, we say it briefly. Actually, it's hard to say much more. And we move on. We minister to ourselves and we receive God's ministry as we pray and move on. Pour it out and then receive grace to move on. And saying it allows us to move on. In verse 9, David has encouraged himself by the reminder that God will prevail. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. Opposition, trouble, lies, nothing can separate us. So David prays again, more boldly. Verse 9, then my enemies will retreat in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust. So David has decided. However fearful his enemies want him to be, he is not going to be afraid. Verse 11. In God I trust, I am not afraid. I will not be afraid is probably a better translation. What can a mere mortal do to me? Finally, the NRSV has come up with a good translation of that word. Mere human. The word Enosh in Hebrew. This is quite an important psalm, isn't it? If we have enemies who are trying to make us fearful. There are bullies, there are terrorists in our world who may not live that far away, who want us to be fearful. But as Christians, we need not fear. And so let's pray, like Psalm 56. In order to encourage ourselves, in order to encourage others, in order to help us move on from that fear. In God I trust, I am not afraid. Now, whenever we take something away, it's good to put something better back in its place. And so that's where this psalm finishes. Instead of fear, what should we put there? Well, it says, instead of being fearful, we can be thankful. My vows to you I must perform, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. So because of God's promises in Jesus Christ to us and our promises to him, we do not need to be fearful. We can be thankful. The Lord Jesus' death and resurrection has delivered my soul from death. So I'm not going to be fearful. I'm going to be thankful. The light and truth of God's word means that I can see the way ahead. No need to stumble. I can see the way forward. I can walk tall, even though I may be surrounded by those who have it in for me. That is how the psalm finishes in verse 13. For you, I will be thankful, for you have delivered my soul from death and my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of life. What a great psalm. This prayer, which is honest about difficulties and threats, but is not going to dwell on them. So each time the threats are voiced, quickly the prayer moves on. When I am afraid, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. I will be thankful. Which is a good place to finish. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, that you help us to pray. Please help us to pray more like these prayers in your word, and to encourage others as well as ourselves as we pray. Amen.